captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons shall refrain from making defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Pray for the council of the city of Cessnock. And consider a decision to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this city, so that peace and happiness, justice, sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. One apology from Councillor Stapleford. Someone moving it be received. Move Councillor Dunn, second Councillor Zavall. Put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Lyon. No debate. Put that. All those in favour? Yes, okay. Councillors Doherty, Olson, Dunn, Savall, Gray, Burke, Lyon, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Pinson. Those against is Councillor Fagg. Disclosures of interest? Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. A disclosure on PE 20-2021. A pecuniary interest for the reasons that the proponent is directly related to a business customer of mine.
Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to advise that I will not be available for the next meeting.
You're asking for leave of absence?
Yes, leave of absence, please.
Thank you. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Report number GMU 5-2021, report Greater Cessnock Job Strategy 2036. I have a non-pecuniary interest less than significant as I'm contracted by the Cessnock Chamber of Commerce and the President was involved in the consultation. I remain in the Chamber as it was not influenced the way I vote.
Councillor Savall.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. A non-pecuniary less than significant conflict in regards to report CC28. 2021 donations under section 356 from REIT subsidy policy for the reasoning that I'm a member of the Hunter District Hunting Club that uses the facilities of the Cessnock Rifle Range, Cessnock Clay Target Club and Cessnock Pistol Club. I'll choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting as the conflict does not influence me in carrying out my public duty because I'm just an ordinary member and not a committee member and it has no impact on my membership.
Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. On the report PE 20-2021, I've realised that the applicant is a friend of the best person at my wedding. However, I declare a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict. It will not influence me and my decision making, so I will stay in the room.
Thank you, Councillor Burke. Again.
No, I'm all right.
That's fine. Right. So. We need to go back to the mover and seconder for the apologies with the addition of Councillor Sander requesting leave of absence for the next meeting. So the mover and seconder, Councillors Dunn and Savall are comfortable to take that on board. I will put that amended motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Okay. I'm not aware of any petitions. Public address. Michael Sutherland, PE 20-2021, development application number A 2020-20441/1, proposing alterations addition to the Australia Hotel. If you come forward, please, Michael.
Planning department was unable to support our proposal. It didn't strictly conform with the DCT. We understand that. We also think or understand that council has some latitude in that regard and hope that that flexibility can be afforded to our proposal. Noting that some flexibility has been afforded to others in the past, and obviously some of the hotels in town, Peters in particular. With respect to the plan report, I haven't actually seen it or read it. I just got a letter saying I don't support it. There's a few things I know. Firstly, I can tell you that we took it upon ourselves to door knock 52 residences around the hotel and seek their feedback on our proposal. We got no feedback whatsoever. Secondly, the residents next door, the plan was, the possible resident place next door was at the hotel. That's since been sold and is now going to become a pie shop and a coffee shop. Thus, 100% of the surrounding people around the hotel are all commercial enterprises. There's no more residents. Next, I'd say that as far as we're concerned, Rhonda at the back there, my wife and I, we think about pubs as food and family. Currently, family's not really a part of that hotel because there is no kids area. We'd like there to be one. There's an area we propose to be one. Currently, it's an ugly eyesore, and we'd like to change that. If we do, it would become the area we propose. If that were to be the case, we can bring back kids and have people sit there, maybe 30 people, sit there and watch the kids while they meet and greet and have a feed and so on. I'll leave you with these thoughts, and that is that in terms of this hotel, it's always had a kids area. It's always had an outdoor eating area. We just want to bring that back. We're relying on precedent as far as legal is concerned, and I think from a support perspective, you guys can rely on that too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Let me just wait there, Michael. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Olsen?
One, when I was up there having a look, we spoke about the car come through the front fence. If this was approved, will you make that fence safer to stop that ever happening again, a car coming through?
Absolutely. It's a lesson learned. I'm a big surprise that a few Sundays ago about that car coming into the back car park. If we do this, of course, now that experience tells us to put bollards up, and that's exactly what we do. We're taking proposal with respect to adults, eating, and food supply.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, let's thank Michael for his presentation. Councillors, we'll now deal with PE 20-2021. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move an alternate recommendation that the report be deferred for the preparation of conditions of consent and the matter be re-referred to Council's meeting of 19th of May 2021 for further consideration.
Yeah, we get a seconder from Councillor Fitzgibbon. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. So our second speaker is Jessica Caldwell on behalf of the Head and Greeter residents, speaking on WI 16-2021, Road Safety on Main Road in Head and Greeter.
Arguably worse condition, but remains open with rough surface signs in place. While council patches the roads intermittently, the only sustainable solution is expediting the 8 projects listed in the table that I've provided to each of the councillors. These 8 projects are the ones I believe would have the biggest impact on road safety in Henrietta by improving the condition of the roads and providing safe cycling pathways. Your report states that council has complied and not exceeded the number of lots permitted to be released, but based on my research, I disagree. In S96 application 8/2015/467/3, Hunter Land sought to remove condition 55, requiring the upgrade of the Heaven Street Main Road intersection to a signalised intersection prior to the release of the 108th developable lot. Council's approval states that condition 55 was withdrawn and condition was to remain, requiring signalised intersection upgrade works to be completed prior to the issue of a subdivision certificate for the 108th developable lot. As of today, 174 lots have been released in Avery's Rise, with the last 76 being released in March 2020, following the commencement of the intersection upgrade in February 2020. Based on Council's approval stated, those 76 lots should not have been released until the intersection was completed in full. In deleting conditions 10 and 11 from the original DA and moving them to the Avery's Village Contributions Plan and then into the Citywide Infrastructure Contributions Plan, Council has increased the thresholds of these much-needed projects twice, all the way through to 2024 to 2031, when they should have been completed already. The significant extension of these thresholds for these projects is not acceptable to the residents of Henrietta and does not reflect the addition of 2 new developments on Avery's Lane, the number of dual occupancies being built in Avery's Rise, and the severe degradation of the existing roads. The residents of Henrietta would like Council to change the thresholds of all 6 roads and cycleway projects listed in the Citywide Infrastructure Plan, with work commencing as soon as possible and being completed by 2024, to not release further lots in any of the 3 developments on Avery's Lane until the Heaven Street intersection is completed, to commit to repairing Stanford Street, to commit to repairing Young, Stanford, Hedden, Adams and Trenchard Streets and Avery's Lane monthly until the roads are reconstructed, and to provide specific details on the working plan agreement for the Hedden Street Main Road or Fifth Street project, not included in the Citywide Infrastructure Contributions Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. We questions, councillors? Councillor Olsen?
Yeah, I just... the main problem at the moment down there would be Hedden Street, where it's blocked off. No, it's Hedden Street, and I believe that the lights are supposed to be going in. It's putting traffic in other local streets.
Yes, it's forcing traffic into Adams Street and now Young Street for the Stanford's.
Yeah, which is causing those roads to fall apart. If we could find a way of getting that traffic lights done and the road upgraded, that would solve a lot of issues down that end of the town very quickly.
It would for the people that don't live in Avery's Rise and don't have to bypass that whole section, but the other people living on Avery's, on Adam Street and the other streets would be impacted.
Yeah, thank you. Let's thank Jessica for her presentation. We'll now deal with WI 16-2021, Road Safety on Main Road in Hedden Greeter. So we'll move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Saval. No debate. Put the Councillor Saval.
I was just going to ask the General Manager if she'd whether the applicant had had a meeting with Council to discuss the concerns in the report and the and the concerns raised about non-compliance.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think we need to focus on what's in the report before Council.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no further debate. I'll put Jeff's.
And then to the, sure. The report, that the General Manager arrange a meeting with the. With the petition organiser to discuss the concerns raised within the petition.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the seconder comfortable with that? The mover? The seconder comfortable? Okay, no debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Consideration and adoption of reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Prinsen. Having read and considered the reports and the agenda related to items NI3 2021, Notice of Intention to Deal with Matters in the Confidential Session. GMU 4 2021, Community Engagement and Councillors Circular Content. GMU 5 2021, Greater Cessnock Job Strategy. GMU 6, Minutes of Audit Committee held 9th of February. CC 26, Draft Disability Inclusion Action Plan 2021. CC 27, 2021, Minutes of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Committee Meeting. CC 28, 2021, Donations under Section 356, Rates Subsidy Policy. CC 29, 2021, Submission Regarding IPASS Review of the Rate Peak to Include Population Growth. CC 31, 2021, Investment Report, March 2021. CC 32, Resolutions Tracking Report. WI 18, 2021, AFC Under-17 Women's Championship 2022 qualifiers. WI 19, Draft Master Plan for Maybury Peace Park, Chinaman's Hollow. WI 21, Minutes of the Dollar for Dollar Grants Committee, meeting held on 24th of March. WI 22, the Greta Transfer Station. WI 24, Electricity Supply Contracts. CO 8, 2021, MM7 2020 Wollumbi Coal Mining Proposal, and CO9/2021 WI72 Road Reclassifications.
Okay, so you're moving that way. We get a seconder, Councillor Gray. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Yeah, sure. So move to Mayoral Minute 5. The intention of the Mayoral Minute is for the changes to the parking enforcement policy for the councillors to have a workshop to clearer understand the effectiveness of those changes to the policy. I'll move that way. All those in favour? Oh, sorry, Councillor Olsen speaking.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why we need to have a workshop to discuss something we voted on and accepted about a month or so ago.
You'll notice in the rationale that looking at some of the feedback that from the community, so that council better understands the way the policy is to be implemented.
So what?
I'm saying that I've had requests from councillors that they need a workshop to better understand the issues that are being raised with them by members of the community, and the workshop is probably the best way forward to educate everyone.
So Mayor Pinson, another question then. If it's just a workshop to discuss it, is the policy going to be changed?
I'm not preempting any changes. All I'm suggesting is a workshop.
Because we know that the policy is implemented because of the state regulations, and we have to follow the state regulations, and the parking rules were adjusted to suit what was more simpler to explain to everyone and how we operate our parking in this community. And unfortunately, if we didn't understand it, maybe we should revoke the policy and bring it back as review it again, because I clearly understood what was said. I understand what it is. I know what we've got to do. I just don't understand why we vote and accept a policy and then a month later we have to have a workshop to discuss how that policy actually works.
So, mate, Councillor, the reason I went with the workshop is because some councillors gain great benefit from workshops, and that's the way that councillors are educated. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, and I'll just quickly speak to that. I know that a lot of councillors have been lobbied by people in the community over the adoption of that policy, and it's just a good idea to have the workshop so that we're all across it, so that the right information is out there. And it's not that we didn't understand the policy, as Councillor Olsen thinks we didn't. It's just to make sure that we've got every box ticked.
Thank you. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And yes, I'll support it too, because I'll put my hand up too. I don't understand all the nuances in Currie of all the traffic, all the parking issues. people are coming up to me constantly with little side streets and that type of thing, and I would like the opportunity just to sit down with staff and throw a whole stack of different scenarios that are just little out-of-the-box things so I can actually educate the community on exactly what is happening. Yeah, there's three-metre rules and that type of thing. So I've discussed it with staff, and I don't want to have to go every 5 minutes and go back to staff and say, what about this scenario, what about that scenario? What I'd like to do is actually just sit down with the staff and say, OK, how does it apply? Because we know we've got, you know, Aberdare, we've got super wide, we've got super wide medium strips, and we've got some paved areas, some not. So it's not that I don't understand, because in the general run of it, I do. However, there's a lot of nuances in our town that basically just I don't know what to communicate exactly to it without going back to the council staff. Thank you,
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I think one of the points that needs to be noted is, when this new policy was put into place to align with the state government rules, we also put in a 6-month grace period on that around fines and running a community education campaign around it. So we're probably going to getting towards halfway through that. There has been, I think, I've had a community feedback. I've seen a lot of community feedback elsewhere. And I'm sure our ranger teams have had community feedback. So I think this workshop is a good opportunity for us to all come together and say, what are the community raising? What's the issues? Is there a better way that we could get information out to them to understand what this parking policy is? Is there anything else that needs to be looked at? So I think it's an important thing. It makes sense to do it now when we're about halfway through that trial period, so that if there is something else we want to use while they're not out there issuing fines, they're running an education campaign, we've got that opportunity to make it happen.
Okay, no further debate. I'll put the mayoral minute. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Saville, Fagg, Gray, Burke, Lyons, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olson. Moving to MM6 2021, the Ellalong Lagoon. And I'm...
Chris Parker be given 3 minutes to speak to councillors tonight, as this is a late mayoral minute. And no one had an opportunity to be able to put in a request to speak, and he's part of the resident action group in Ellalong that would like to air their concerns on this issue.
Yeah, I spoke to the resident this afternoon and explained to him that the current policy doesn't allow for resolutions of council to include speakers. So unfortunately, he has opportunities at other times, and I pointed out the times when, say, the environmental lands report comes back to council to talk on the significance of Ellalong Lagoon.
So, Mayor Pinson, what you're saying under our current policy, no one and the general public can speak on it.
Is that the general manager?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. The mayor has got the right to put a mayoral minute at any time before the meeting, so it's not a late mayoral minute.
Okay. It's a mayoral minute. The mayoral minute only came out today. The resident only knew the mayoral minute was going to be up today. So what the resident would like to be able to have their chance to speak, like every other resident gets when everything's put out last Friday. So being a late mayoral minute, why can't we give the resident the opportunity 3 minutes to speak?
And I'm saying to you that the policy doesn't allow that.
Can't we change
it? Excuse me. I've answered. That's it.
Why can't we, as a council, make a decision tonight to let a representative of the community speak tonight? The policy might be written, but we have a late mayoral minute, and they've got the opportunity to be able to say what they feel to all of us. We can do it as a council if we want to support the residents.
Councillor, we're not changing policy on the run, and that's quite clear to me. So we're looking at Ellalong Lagoon. It's probably the more important issue, and The reason for the lateness of the mayoral minutes is I needed confirmation of the facts, or some of the facts, that in a letter I received from one of the residents of Kunji Way, Ellalong and Paxton, who are all concerned residents. The history of Ellalong Lagoon is that as part of the fourth coal loader, it was dealt as an environmental trade-off, environmental offset rather, to the development of the fourth coal loader that never went ahead. So it's surplus to the needs of Port Waratara, as they didn't go ahead with that coal loader. It sat as in its natural state ever since that time, which is something that the community and hopefully this council supports. And I'm asking that the General Manager writes to New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Services and the Biodiversity Conservation Trust supporting the current use of the Ellalong Lagoon remaining in its natural state. And I think that's very important, and I'll be interested when the Environmental Lands Report comes back as to the significance of this parcel of land. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just briefly, I'd like to speak in support of this mayoral minute. Certainly it's timely, given everything that we're hearing on social media about this. Ellalong Lagoon is certainly environmentally significant in my belief, and I think in the community's belief. It's a wonderful area of natural beauty, but it's also very culturally significant to the surrounding towns and that, and has played an important part in the recreational lives of locals there. So I think this is an excellent mayoral minute and a good step forward to hopefully preserve this area for future generations.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Can someone give me an answer to this? I believe that Ellalong Lagoon has always been in private ownership. Would that be true?
So the director, take it on notice.
I'll take that one on notice, Mayor Pinson.
Yep. So I believe it's always been in private ownership. So if we were to write to National Parks and Wildlife and the Biodiversity Council, whoever they might be, or the faceless scientific committee, and then those people should buy the property. Those people should buy it.
And I think that's the point of the trust caring for that land once it's an environmental offset. So there's a lot of legislation that I don't quite understand, but I'm just supporting the community wishes that it remain in its natural state. Councillor Olson?
Yes, thanks, Mayor Pinson. Wouldn't it be a shame if Ellalong Lagoon was sold to a developer and people put houses all around that area? It floods on most of the land, so it's not of great use to a developer, but it would destroy the area out there. Ellalong Lagoon, it's always been part of Ellalong, as far as I can remember. Everyone talks about Ellalong, it's a lagoon out there. And all I can say is, I would like to think that if the current owner of the land would donate it to National Parks as a good gesture, a goodwill gesture, because it's something that the community out there want to keep. It's something that Cessnock Council, I believe, should make sure is kept. And it's all part of the ecological system in that area, and if we don't have it there, we're going to hurt that area so much. And I'm glad you brought this to Council's attention tonight, Mayor Pinson, but I would have preferred that you allow a resident to explain their points as well. So let's hope we get a good result out of this.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the mayoral minute. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. MOU 3, 2021, motions of urgency. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I have one motion of urgency with respect to the Poppet Head Park, that the General Manager make contact with Cessnock Tidy Towns Committee with regard to assisting with grant funding availability for painting the Poppet Head Park structure. The rationale is that it is related to the Building Community Partnerships grant, and the closing date for that grant is on the 14th of May, which is before the next Council meeting, and the Tidy Towns Committee were only made aware of that grant this week.
Fine. So the urgency is around that closing date of the 14th of May. Okay, so we'll put that as a... I'll concede that that's urgent. We got the... I'll put that as a motion to the council about supporting the urgency. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. GMU 7, 2021, draft councillor alcohol and other drugs policy. Move Councillor Saville. Second Councillor Dunn. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. PE 21, 2021. Is Paul leaving on that? No. The service station, Nalquabar. Okay. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move an alternate recommendation.
Sure.
Do I need to? It's quite lengthy.
Sorry.
To read through the lot. It's
maybe summarise the intent.
So the first bit, the development application on the proposed extension of trading hours at a service station, 247 Wine Country Drive, 24 hours, 7 days a week, be refused, subject to the reasons contained in the report.
And I assume you've distributed this to councillors before the meeting?
I have distributed it to councillors. There is one change on what I've distributed. It's the second last dot point, which I will read out. And it is the determination of DA 8/2015/545/1, which authorised the construction and use of the service station and food and drink premises, prohibited trading between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. There has been no change in circumstances justifying the extension of the operating hours.
Okay. So councillors note that in the document they have on their desk. We got a second. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
So, speaking on this is a development application that was approved in 2016 by council. It was considered at the time, and council made a recommendation that this would not be available for 24-hour use because it was neighbouring a residential development that is considerably moving underway. There's quite a number, I think 81 homes to be built neighbouring on this. It's also neighbouring on our tourism vineyard zoning and is in predominantly a rural area. And at the time, I was not comfortable in it to being a 24-hour service station. At the moment, what in my view is being proposed is not just a 24-hour service station. This is a major truck stop facility with drive-through food and drink premises, and I don't believe it's in the community's interest or in keeping with the local amenity of the area to have this type of 24-hour development in that area. So as per the reasonings in this motion, I think it's important that we vote for this amended resolution and reject the development application.
Thank you, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Vincent. It was interesting when this kind of come to us, because I remember when this came to council for approval. I think I was the only one that spoke against it because of the location and the residents around it. And now here it is back, and we're getting complaints about it now, and they don't want to extend the hours for 24 hours. If we didn't approve it in the first place, we wouldn't have had this issue. The vineyards didn't want it, the residents didn't want it, but we got it, so now we've got a problem. Maybe we should be caring more about the residents before we approve any development instead of looking at what the development is for. So now we're here, we've got to hopefully refuse this extension of trading hours.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion.
just in reply, going back to the original development.
Just hang on, Councillor Savell. Councillor Doherty.
Oh, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I do want to comment on it. And it goes back to the announcement of the Hunter Expressway, which is to be a heavy freight corridor, and we would lose all the interstate trucking movements from the Cessnock LGA, and they would be directed to the Hunter Expressway. When the Hunter Expressway opened in March 2014, in fact, that happened for 6 months, and then the heavy vehicles started reusing it. Now, this particular service station has been planned and approved as, and it will be, a truck depot, because at Freeman's Waterhole in Lake Macquarie Council area, they've knocked down an old service station there and built a full-purpose truck depot there with a service station attached to it. So I'm of the belief, whilst this isn't an argument in refusal, that they're actually redirecting heavy freight off the Hunter Express, off the M1, and through Cessnock to the Hunter Expressway north of Brankston, which that's an extreme disappointment after all these years of trying to get the heavy vehicles out of Vincent Street.
Thank you. Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And talking about the service station, and I'll sort of go back to my original point, is when this came up, we were told that a service station met the zoning criteria, and that was the decision. I gave a speech at the time where I think I said I did not want to approve this, but under the planning guidelines and the way things were set from previous councils that set the LEP, of which I was not a member, but I think, Councillor Olsen, you may have been, it was set that under those guidelines we had to effectively, it was a thing that was allowed to be approved. So we made the decision then to approve a service station. At this point now, I think what's actually happened, the developer has not followed the conditions that we put on it at the time. They're now coming back to us and asking us to change more conditions, and effectively they're creating something that is far and above and beyond what was originally approved, which was a service station. If you look at every other service station that is in this Cessnock area, there is not one of the intensity like that, that has the big drive-through food service facilities, that has the B-double parking bays. It is completely not keeping with the rest of what the service stations are and what the is available out there in that area. So in my view, it should definitely be refused.
Thank you. Closing debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. So we're requesting that we move into the confidential to deal with the court case in the Land and Environment Court over this service station now that it's been refused. Moving, Councillor Savell, second Councillor Dunn. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Can we clear the gallery, please? General Manager, reporting on the confidential session.
So thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council resolved, one, that Council notes receipt of an appeal reference number 2021/32316 in the New South Wales Land and Environment Court against the deemed refusal of development application number 8/2020/20870/1. Two, that Council notes detached estimate of costs and prospects of success prepared by Council solicitors in respect for the appeal, reference number 2021/32316, relating to a development application number 8/2020/20870/1. 3, that Council notes the options identified in the report in respect of the appeal, reference number 2021/32316, relating to the development application number 8/2020/20820/1. 4, that Council delegates the management of the appeal, reference number 2021/32316, relating to development application number 8/2020/20870/1, to the General Manager, including the ability to enter into consent orders or a Section 34 agreement. If appropriate, and subject to the draft conditions of consent coming to Council for approval on the 19th of May 2021.
Thank you. So we move to PE 22, 2021, Exhibition of Draft Planning Agreement Policy. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
I'd just like to make an amendment to dot point 2, and that is that following public exhibition, the draft planning agreement comes back to Council for adoption.
Okay, so with a seconder, move Councillor Fitzgibbon, second Councillor Gray. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Unanimous. CC 23-2021, adoption of draft 21-22 operational plan for public exhibition. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to move that way. I've just got an additional dot point to put on the bottom of that.
Sure, and we'll get a seconder when you do that. No, we'll get the seconder when you've added the additional point.
That the General Manager schedule a briefing on the progress of the LOP and the DCP and include an update on the Vidard District Local Character Statement.
Okay, fine. And we've got a seconder, Councillor Burke. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, a couple of questions, if I may. The report on the page is it? 92, I think, 92, where we have a totals there at the end. So this is the 2021 adopted budget. Who's answering? Had a $423 surplus, but in the paperwork we got in a briefing, it's over $1 million. Is that accounted for in those figures?
So can we just run over the document again, please, for stage?
Page 92
of the
operation plan.
And the director, can you just ask the question again, please?
The total overall result before capital grants surplus loss in 2021 says $423 surplus. But in the briefing that was given last week, I believe, the operation loss was $1 million, or is it projected to be over $1 million? Is that accounted for in there?
Thank you, Councillor Olsen. I believe the 423 there you're referring to was the original adopted budget for 2021?
No, that's the original. We haven't adjusted any figures from that. Right. So to get that surplus of over $2 million, we have transferred salaries and wages to capital projects. How does that save us $3 million?
The director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Olsen, it doesn't necessarily save you money, it's just about where you show that and record it within your accounts. So we will still be spending our staff wages, if you like. Mm-hmm. It's just that we are accounting for them as part of our capital works program, not in our profit and loss statement.
So we're going to class that as an asset, not as a cost.
The director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Yes, Councillor Olsen, that is the correct, appropriate accounting treatment for wages when they are a component of building something.
We've never done it this way before, have we?
The director.
Yes, Councillor Olsen, we have done it before. We've just put a lot more emphasis to make sure that the figure that we're including in the 2021 profit and loss reflects what we expect to do in relation to capital works next year.
So what you're saying is we shuffle the figures around to show we got a profit. Is that correct?
I'm not sure whether that's an appropriate question.
Okay. I've got another couple of questions, Mayor Pinson, if I can just get them asked, please. In the proposed loan borrowings in the report, it talks about borrowing $3 million, or just over $3 million. Is that account, by the way it's worded in this report, we have to look at whether we can afford to borrow that money, because we haven't accounted for how we're going to pay for that. Is that correct?
Director?
In the report on page 225, under proposed loan borrowings.
Thank you, Councillor Ellison. If we've included the proposed loan borrowings in the document, we've also included the proposed repayments of those borrowings, so we have accounted for them, and we do believe that we can afford them.
It says in here that the impact on Council operation budget would need to be assessed to determine whether Council could accommodate the additional loan repayments that would arise. So if that's what it says in the report, you haven't accounted for it in this budget.
The Director.
Thank you. If you could point to the page you're looking at, Councillor Olsen.
Page 225, under proposed loan borrowings.
This is of the Council report now?
Yeah, Council report, yes.
Thank you. Yep, that's a if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
That's a correct statement. We do want to be careful about what we borrow. We do want to consider the longer-term implications of what it will mean in relation to our budgets. We don't want to go out and borrow money if we don't have to. However, we have considered that. We have included it in the forward estimates and our plan for next year. And I believe it's prudent that Council utilises the option of loan borrowing where it's appropriate.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I've got.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I'd just like to thank the staff for all their help and support putting together this operational budget, and for the briefings that we've had on it or workshops that we've had on it. I'd also like to thank the staff for answering all of the questions that I put forward to them today, as I'm sure most of the councillors did here. It's not like we're just sitting here like dummies. We have asked the questions and have had the answers, just not here in the chamber. Thank you.
Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, I just wanted to say I can't support this budget the way I see it, and the way I look at it is we've shuffled figures around to make it look better than what it really is. You're moving wages into an asset, and I don't believe that is a good way of accounting, because it is a cost for Council that you cannot recoup. And when you're talking about our roads, if we're talking about how we pay everybody, to me, and talking to accountants outside of Council, they do not believe that's a good way of doing accounting. So what we're showing, if we're going to show everybody we've got a $2 million surplus, yet actually we haven't got a $2 million surplus, we're actually looking at somewhere around $1 million deficit, because it's only a way you do your figures and you how you account for it. As our director said, we are moving money from one area to another area, so it makes our figures look more pleasant from where we are heading. So I really can't support a budget that does that.
And so excuse me, Councillor, I think the director intimated that we are moving figures, but the other comments were yours, not his.
Oh, maybe it was. I'm not 100% sure, Mayor Pinson, but I still can't see how they can be a good way of doing accounting when we obviously didn't do it last year, because we had $1 million deficit when we're looking at only a $400 surplus. We end up with over $1 million deficit. We're heading backwards. So, and now this year we've got another deficit, which is going to be changed because we're putting it into an asset, but the money's been spent, so you can't actually grab that money out of that $2 million that's sitting there and use it anywhere else, because it's gone. It's in the asset, the road. So we haven't actually got a surplus. We gave that money to the employees. So to me...
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Councillor Olsen has just inferred that the director is a liar.
That
can't be right.
Yeah. How did I say that?
Excuse me, Councillor, you might have inferred that, but I'm not taking that same line.
Mayor Pinson, the way I see it, and the way I've spoken to a couple of different accountants, the way they've said it to me is it's not a good way to show how you are balanced in your books, because you've spent that money. It's not an asset. It's not like buying a car and you've got the car sitting there, you can sell it off. The wages are gone. That money's gone. It's all part being added to the cost of the road. Yes, it's there, but it's the way you do your figures. And I'm sorry, but I can't support that.
Fine. Councillors, you might remember that our financial team are all suitably qualified as in the accounting and financial background, and I'm not aware of any qualifications that Councillor Olsen has. So they're his views. Councillor Olsen?
I take objection to you saying I haven't got any accounting skills, because I never said I did. All I said, I spoke to accountants.
I see
think apology is required.
There would not be an apology, Councillor, because what I said was I am not aware of Councillor Olsen having accounting qualifications. Councillor Savell?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'm pleased we're on the topic of apologies, because I was going to ask Councillor Olsen to withdraw his comments and apologise to our accounting staff, who are accounting professionals. The accusations that he's made tonight, effectively calling the work they've done inappropriate conduct, is not something that we as councillors should be making as statements, especially not in public forums. It's not in the best interests of council as a whole, and not becoming of the role of a councillor. So I would ask him to withdraw and apologise to staff, and if he does have questions in relation to this, to go through appropriate channels of discussing these things with the director or the general manager if there are concerns about the practices that are being undertaken, rather than making almost slanderous allegations in a public forum. So I think that he should do that now, and I think that we as a councillor, as a council as a whole, shouldn't be operating like that. I know as Councillor Fitzgibbon mentioned, there have been numerous questions. We've had numerous briefings on this, of which all councillors are invited to. While not all attend, all councillors are invited to. And I think that if councillors did attend and were involved in these discussions and actually asked questions and contributed through there, they may not come into the chamber and making inappropriate comments.
Councillor, are you willing to retract those statements, the derogatory statements, to the staff?
What did I say?
You mean you intimating you can't remember what you said?
Yeah, I can't remember what I said now. I've been listening
to 3 minutes,
I don't know.
What am I apologising?
You inferred.
What am I apologising?
Excuse me, I'm speaking. You inferred the council staff were fiddling the numbers, I think the words were, fiddling the numbers to make the books look better. That's what Councillor Savell is asking you to withdraw as a detrimental statement to our staff.
I can't.
So the answer is either yes or no.
I can't remember saying fiddling the books.
So you're not accountable for what you're saying. Is that what you're telling me?
I can't remember saying fiddling the books, Mayor
Pinson. Sorry?
I can't remember saying fiddling the books at any stage.
Shifting the numbers, something very similar.
Well, there you see. I can't remember what I said. Send me a copy of the recording and I'll listen to the back. I'll let you know next
time. Councillor, can I make you aware of the code of meeting practice, where you show respect for the chair, saying to me that I send you a copy of the recording of this meeting is totally inappropriate and outside. Yeah, you can look like that if you like, but it's totally outside the role of the chair of a meeting. Yes, it is. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just before I debate, if I could just ask a question to the Director. Does Council comply with the Office of Local Government Code of Accounting Practice and Financial Reporting?
Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Yes, we do, Councillor Burke.
Thank you. I thought so. And I'm going to go on with what Councillor Saval has said. And in the early part of our agenda paper, it talks about the Council values, and two of those are integrity and respect. And I think that all councillors should be reminded of that. We expect our staff and our senior executive to follow those council values, and so should we. And certainly I heard, and I'm sure Councillor Olsen will hear, that he said that we shuffle the numbers. And I do hope that he brings back a public apology, because our staff work very hard, particularly the accounting team, and across all of Council, our staff work hard. There's another core value of Council, and that's accountability. And we are accountable to the community. And I have full faith and trust in the staff that our General Manager employs, that they are ensuring that we are being accountable to our local community. And for a councillor to come in here to say that our staff are shuffling numbers to make it look good is downright disrespectful. And it certainly shows that that councillor has no integrity for the staff of this organisation. We have just heard the director say that we comply with the local government code of accounting practice and financial code. I am not an accountant. And I too, just like Councillor Olsen can and have, spoken to accountants because I question some things within the report and I do speak to the staff about them. But it is accountant standards for what Councillor Olsen believes that we're doing wrong. It's a standard practice. And if that's okay, if Councillor Olsen wants to get his views taken from an outsource, from a different accountant, that's fine. But as a councillor, I make decisions based on the reports given here, and I make decisions that I believe that the staff have held high regard for, and they too know that they're accountable to the community. I have no hesitation, none, in voting in favour of the motion tonight. Because, like all councillors, and as it's already been pointed out, we are open to go to briefings. The General Manager and the directors are available to us councillors at any time. All we have to do is email. And I know Councillor Olsen is busy, just like we are all busy. We all have lives. The questions that Councillor Olsen are raising could certainly be typed up within a 30, maybe 45 second email from what he's asked. Therefore, an answer can come back. And not only does the good thing, Mr. Mayor, is not only does Councillor Olsen get the answer, but all councillors get the answer, and that's how it should work. So to come into this chamber and throw slanderous words truly is a poor reflection on the judgment of that councillor.
Thank you, Councillor Burke. That being again, put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Saval, Fagg, Gray, Burke, Lyon, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olsen. CC 24/2021, authorisation for sale of land 62-76 Cessnock Street, Aberdare. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I'd like to put up an alternate recommendation. And that is, one, that Council undertake the works on Cessnock Street, Caledonian Street and Collery Street, Aberdare, as outlined in the report. Two, that funding for the work to be taken from the Strategic Property Reserve. Three, that Council endorse the listing and sale of the lots after the completion of works. for the additional costs of the works be distributed among the 8 lots and be included in the sale price. And 5, the GM has delegation to accept not less than 95% of the sale price.
Yes, second, Councillor Dunn.
Councillor Dunn actually raised this issue with me because he couldn't attend a strategic property committee meeting and asked whether I'd follow it up, which I did do, so I'll be looking for his support tonight. Look, this is a unique opportunity for council to do this work on this large plot of land with the 8 blocks because we can borrow the money or take the money from the strategic property reserve, and once the blocks are sold, we can pay the money back. So therefore, it's not coming out of the operational budget. And I'm sure all councillors here over their term have been to site inspections or been to residents' houses where council has done something or not done something and scratched their head like, why wasn't that done? Well, this is one of those moments I feel because if we can tidy up these blocks, clear them, run suitable curb and gutting around, it doesn't have to be box curb, obviously, it'll just make the water run down and around into the culvert that's there in front of the preschool. It'll make the blocks more attractive for those people who do want to build a new house on them, and they are very lovely blocks overlooking urban bushland. I think the fact that we can add the cost of doing the works onto the cost of what the real estate agent thinks we can get, then that will pay the money back easily. The other thing too is it avoids, because if they're unimproved, I think you'll get people who'll sort of try and haggle us down because they know that it's going to cost them the money to do it. But more importantly for me, sometimes when you get sort of a block of like 8 blocks we've got, you'll get one guy that's happy to have pay his contribution to curb and guttering, even though council doesn't have a curb and guttering policy. But there will be other people who just cannot contribute. So by council doing the work, it's done up front. It's not going to come back to bite us in years to come. It will make that area look nice, and I think it'll be easier to sell the blocks. And I look forward to having all the support from all the councillors.
Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. And Councillor Fitzgibbon was correct. I did raise this because I couldn't get to a strategic property meeting. And up until tonight, I've struggled with this one because strategic property is all about return on investment. And, you know, it's all about whether we get the most return on investment for these blocks versus the amenity that curb and guttering would provide the community. And we don't have a very good track record when it comes to delivering curb and guttering, and as much as I am all for maximum return on investment on the blocks, I can't go past the fact that if we don't curb and gutter these blocks now, they probably won't get curb and guttered in our lifetime. So given that, Councillor Fitzgibbon, I will support this.
Thank you. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Just a question to the Director. Whilst I will be supporting the amended motion, the question that I've asked, because I put in a notice of motion about curb and guttering 4 or 5 years back, and we still don't have a strategy. My question is, by curb and guttering these 8 blocks, is there an issue with trunk drainage?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So my understanding at the time that the work was done, it was to look at the curb and guttering plus to tie it into the current drainage system. So my understanding is that it, there hasn't been a detailed assessment to say whether the current system is sufficient or not, but we will find that out in the detailed design.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'll be supporting the amendment from Councillor Fitzgibbon. And just basically, if we're going to give a good product, they will sell better and you'll get more value bang for your buck. And just to remind councillors that there's 8 blocks of land there that currently don't attract rates. So you have you know, that income coming into the council as well in the, in the previous next years.
Yep. Thank you. The director has a comment on the proposed resolution.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Fitzgibbon, I may ask whether you'd be prepared just to slightly amend your dot point four. The additional cost of the works be distributed amongst the eight lots and be added to the market valuation that we currently have, and that will drive the sale price.
Yep. Okay, fine. Thank you. So the second is comfortable with that, Councillor Dunn. Yep, no further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. So CC25. Discussion paper on code of meeting practice and proposed amendments for remote attendance and audio-visual upgraded for the council chambers. So we're moving that way. Here's Councillor Gray, Councillor Sander, Councillor Olson.
Yes, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I really don't understand why we are supporting this concept of remote attendance by councillors. It makes it a mockery of a council that's gone from two meetings a month down to one, and now we're going to say that we're going to have another change where we can stay at home and do it by remote access. I think it's crazy that if you can't make one meeting a month, there's something wrong. We haven't got actually seen what we are putting in to support, because it says in here about how many councillors you can have off. It can't be all. Doesn't say how many. Doesn't say who gets the right to stay at home and who doesn't. I think it's a crazy thing that we get. Some councillors have got to come and others don't. I think we all should be here. If you want to debate an issue, you want to vote, you want to put your hand up, be seen, be here. So I can't support this recommendation at all.
Okay, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I know that Councillor Olson continually refers to the one council meeting a month, but let me tell you, most of us here are here every Wednesday, whether it be a workshop or a briefing or an agenda review. So whilst there may be only one meeting a month, a lot of the work's done before that meeting. So that's a misrepresentation of what the councillor actually does. In that particular report, though, I'm just trying to find it. It does say that you can only go remotely under certain circumstances, and those circumstances are, let me just have a little looky here, something like illness, caring, if you're a carer. So if Councillor Olson reads his papers properly, he'll see that it is in there, and it's not just so that people or councillors can just... Oh, here it is. The councillor is prevented from attending the meeting due to illness, disability or carer responsibilities, a natural disaster, or because the councillor is away from the local area on council-related business. So it's not like we're going to be having councillors sitting at home on the lounge, you know, attending the council meeting. So I think I'll be supporting this report, and it does cover all of those things that Councillor Olson didn't read.
Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question to, I'm going to say maybe the General Manager or the Director. Would this allow, so on a regular basis we have lawyers attend in the chamber, would a system like this allow for lawyers to participate virtually rather than us paying them travel costs?
The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Councillor Burke, you are correct. That would be the intention if we went for the option around improving our audio-visual links. It would allow a combination of a councillor, if council elects to have councillors dialing in via AV link, would also allow us to have presentations from members of the public and or solicitors in a much more professional manner, and it will also greatly improve the level of presentation to the community, because you'd get an quality product, not a product where it's a stopgap measure.
Thank you for that answer. And isn't that amazing that if you think outside the square with your blinkers off, you can actually make sense of a report and be supportive and proactive rather than being reactive. That, to me, and I'm sure there would be other councillors that would agree, this could save council some money. So we'd invest in this cost, and unfortunately Councillor Olsen's against it. But we've just gone through a huge turn up, a period of our life where COVID-19 was on our doorsteps, and it still is. I'm not dismissing that. But we struggled to have a meeting physically. We weren't allowed to. And hats off to all the staff and yourself, Mayor Pinson, for running those meetings as good as possible, and they were good meetings, by the way. But having a system like this would allow us to, as the director has said, act much more professionally with no issues going forward. So for me, and I'm sure other councillors in this room, this is a no-brainer.
Thank you. Councillor Vowell.
Mayor Pinson, I was going to ask the similar question to Councillor Burke, so I won't do that. I'll make a short statement. Councillor Fitzgibbon mentioned that it might have been a misrepresentation of Councillor Olsen attending one meeting a month. I think she's slightly confused. It might be a misrepresentation of all councillors, most councillors attending more than one meeting a month, as they do. It's almost close to an accurate representation that Councillor Olsen attends one meeting a month.
Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. By approving this motion tonight, would that remove the temporary green tape off the carpet and the camera hanging off a flagpole?
Director.
Once we get the money in the budget and we purchase the appropriate equipment, yes, Councillor Doherty, that would.
Okay. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Pinson. I'd just like to remind councillors that the remote attendance by councillors is an endorsement of a submission on a discussion paper. It's not enshrining it into legislation for our council. So until that actually comes back to our council, nothing changes.
Yep, thank you. We're going to put that motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Saville, Gray, Burke, Lyon, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olsen. Investment policy. CC 30 2021, investment policy, divestment opportunities. So moving that way, Councillor Burke. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'm just adding an additional dot point to the report that the general manager write to ANZ letting them know that while we have decided not to change our investment strategy to divest from ANZ at this stage, council will monitor the situation, and if ANZ continue to not support industries important to our local economy, we may choose to divest from them in the future.
Yeah, and so you're comfortable with that, Councillor Burke, the addition? No debate. Put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Yeah. WI 17 2021, Cessnock Regional Skate Park and Carmichael Park BMX Facility. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move some additional wording, additional dot points that say that the cost for the detailed design and construction drawings for the Cessnock Regional Skate Park be added to the 2021-22 operational plan with funds from the Section 711 citywide local infrastructure plan as it is listed in the schedule of works. Next dot point, that the costs for the detailed design and construction drawings of Carmichael Park BMX track be added to the 2021-22 operational plan with funds from the Civil Works Reserve, and that the costs for project management of both of these designs be funded from the Civil Works Reserve.
Okay, so you're moving that way. We get a seconder. Councillor Dunn.
If I may speak to it, Mayor Pinson.
Sure.
Just briefly, basically the report outlines that we can actually fund the detailed design from the skate park from the Section 711 contributions, because it's actually met in the scheduled list of works. Also, after speaking with staff, they suggest that the civil works reserve is the best source for funding the BMX park, and also for the project management of the design, since it actually is a reserve that hasn't been allocated yet. So it's actually, we're not stealing money from a project. There shouldn't be any downside in theory, but basically it couldn't be in the report because it needs council resolution to go along those lines. But basically I think it's very important we actually move on this now. The skate park proposal has been around for a long time. It certainly is drawing a lot of attention from the people of Cessnock. The current skate park we have is old, and yes, we are planning to do it up as part of the Bridges Hill plan, but we certainly need a regional skate park. There is a huge skating and scooter community, and I think that it's certainly something that we need to progress with. I congratulate Councillor Fitzgibbon for actually raising the motion that actually brought this to this council, and I thank her very much for that. I certainly know that council officers have been progressing numerous times trying to get grant funding for this project to go ahead, but because the detailed design hasn't been done, it's been almost impossible to get that grant funding. And similarly with the BMX park in Carmichael Park, it's heavily used. It's the only major BMX facility in the area, and I definitely think it's something that needs to be moved ahead as soon as possible. The current design is outdated. It's basically makeshift, and I think it's something we need to progress with. And basically, Bridges Hill set the way. We saw with Bridges Hill previously, council actually went out and did the detailed design in hope of getting the grant funding, and we actually did get that grant funding. And we now saw it just recently opened. It is a huge testament to our staff's creativity and their ability to go out there and get the funding for this. And it is heavily utilised by our community, and is also heavily utilised by visitors. So I definitely think there's something that we should progress, and I hope that it receives the endorsement of this council.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Just quickly, thank you, Councillor Lyons. I think these two projects are great recreational facilities, and I'm all for any recreational facilities in the town to get everyone out and about and on off their screens. I acknowledge that the council officers have applied for grants in the past and that they have been unsuccessful. That's why I asked for this report to come back to council, because as Councillor Lyons did say, if we do have the detailed design and construction drawings, it puts us in a more competitive position to attract grant funding. And for those out there in their lounge rooms listening, every council all over the country is trying to apply for these grants. So we need to make sure that we've got that we're one step ahead of them and we're ready to go, and that means that we get it and they miss out. Thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 2021, Minutes of the Roads Review Committee, the 11th of December 2020. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'm happy to support this, and I have another dot point to add to it, please. That the General Manager report back to the Road Review Committee within 4 months a proposal to create a comprehensive register of public roads.
Okay, if I'm going to second to Councillor Saville. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. This is pretty straightforward in the fact that we don't currently have a register of public roads, and especially in Ward A, and my fellow Ward A councillors would attest to this. It's becoming more apparent that the most issues we come across our desk over our week are road issues, who owns the road, what the treatment is for the road, how frequently the roads get fixed, and what roads are we actually in fact fixing that we don't own. So if we have a comprehensive register of all of the roads that we actually own, it'll go a long way to fixing this.
Okay, thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 23, Draft Waste Management Policy. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move an alternate recommendation. in relation to this report. Basically, with just a couple of small changes at the top.
Sure, Councillor Dunn seconding.
To the report in changes to the clauses in the policy and having some greater public exhibition and calling for more community engagement around this report, because waste is an issue that community members do get concerned about at times, so we want to make sure we've got all the information out there for them.
Okay, we're going to move into second. Councillor Dunn seconded. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Look, I'll support the recommendation. With this going on, this will come back for adoption, but I'll just make a comment. I think a lot of councillors here are fielding phone calls from ratepayers. They're getting mixed messages from the gate at the waste management facility. And I took one this morning from an elderly lady who was told that the neighbour couldn't any longer take the rubbish up there for her because she had to go in the car with him. Now, I assured her that that's not the case, and clearly in the policy that is not the case. There was a Facebook post on community notice board. Most people do understand that you can take either a rates notice or a utility bill with the voucher and you can dispose of the waste. Unfortunately, that message isn't getting across at the gate. So if the director or the manager can somehow make sure that staff are across the facts so that people aren't getting turned away and confused. Thank you.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. BN7 2021 Main Road 195 Head and Greeter, traffic issues. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson.
Second, Councillor Gray.
It's pretty much self-explanatory, this particular motion, in respect that we need Transport for New South Wales to come to the table and give us an update because of the concerns raised by Ms Corbell on behalf of the residents of Head and Greeter tonight. When I went down there with, I think Councillor Olsen was down there too, there was a pothole in there that you could literally drive a truck through. It was that large, and actually a car went through it, and this plastic undercarriage come adrift. Our local streets, as a direct result of our motions to extend the sale of properties from 20 out to 108, is exacerbated this problem where we've got concrete trucks, heavy vehicles taking in materials into that estate using our streets, which have only got a two-coat bitumen on them, and literally destroying those streets. If council staff were to take the opportunity and go and just have a look at Young Street, which is only a very short bit, but it is absolutely destroyed. And the intersection of Hedden Street and Adam Street is also destroyed, where the trucks are swinging in there and going up onto that particular subdivision. So, as I said, it's pretty much self-explanatory, and you've heard from a resident tonight in relation to their concerns about the standard and the condition of transport throughout that Head and Greeter area. And I think the developer needs to come to the table and give us an absolute assurance that work's going to be done and done in a timely fashion. There's been rumours floating around that it's been dragged out deliberately just to stir us up, but I don't know whether that's in fact true, but at least we need to know from the developer and from RMS the timeliness of the completion of this work.
Thank you, Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson, and thank you, Councillor Doherty, for putting up this motion. Because as we have heard tonight, that the people of Head and Greta are actually in pain. We had a public meeting down there today, where residents are really displaying their angst at what's happening. It does seem that it's taking forever to get the lights finished at Heddon Street. And as councillors in this chamber know, Councillor Doherty and I have been banging on for well over 3 years on trying to get those lights one started and two completed. But the problem we have now is that it is creating havoc right across the road, the local road network. As he was pointing to, was Adam Street, driving down the other day, it's collapsing, absolutely collapsing. But when you talk to the residents, they do understand that it's pointless us going there and, you know, beyond doing temporary safety patches right now, putting any real money in to do it until we get the lights opened and the corridor done. They do understand that. However, it's a safety issue right now. And their pain is real. The havoc that's getting out of their side streets onto Main Road, it's real. The thing that's really important is that the strategic planning hadn't been done prior to the Hunter Expressway being open. This is what's caused all this. All the dormant DAs that were sitting there that hadn't been activated and that were agreed pre-2010. That's what caused all this. So no planning, and then all of a sudden we put a super expressway through and then all the DAs go, well, it's a good time to sell, and they all activate that. And the money that they were paying to contribute to the road, to our road network, without the Hunter Expressway there, wasn't adequate. Now we've got a mixed mash of developers and Transport for New South Wales trying to play catch-up on that. But the main point I want to make is that the corridor study that's been going on for, what, nearly 2 years now, and it was promised last year and all the rest of it, it underpins every other study. Without the corridor study, we can't do anything else. That's the main problem we're having down there. And so, yes, Transport for New South Wales has got their staffing issues and trying to get it through, and I accept it's a big, long, drawn-out process. But this corridor study is so important to our community, and it's an imperative that we actually put as much pressure on as possible to get that corridor study done so we can get on with the Head and Greta urban release studies and all the other developments that are going on. So I commend the motion and thanks for the support.
Okay, I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. BN8 2021, Western Bears Park. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, this is self-explanatory as well. It comes on the back of the Carmichael Park and the BMX track as well. We really need to have a design and construction drawings done so that this park can get it's all shovel ready. So if there's opportunity there to get some funding from grant sources, we can grab that and go, because obviously the continuation of the sale of Vardy Park may take a few more years to come to fruition. And having said that, if there is opportunities to grab some cash from the state or federal government in regard to getting these jobs shovel ready, we can have the opportunity to take that money and run with that. And if the Vardy Park proposal comes to fruition and the funding is available for Western Park, we have got everything on tap, ready to go. All we've got to do is put the funding to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah. Thanks, Mayor Pinson. It's good to see that Western Bears Parks get another mention tonight after our last meeting, where I thought people really didn't support Western that well. So it's good to see that they've had a change of heart, and that I'm hoping that Western Bears Park can get up and running into this new standard that we have set ASAP, because with the under-17s coming very soon, we might be able to use more down there at Western Park than at Cessnock Rugby League Ground, where they play rugby league and they play soccer at Western.
Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I read just recently where the soccer federations were offering grants for upgrades of soccer fields across New South Wales, and what Councillor Sander is proposing is exactly what we need. If we had those plans in place, then the club and the council could jointly go for those grants to upgrade their soccer grounds.
Thank you. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I support Councillor Sanders' motion. The thing with grants is, and we often hear this, how come they're not going for road grants? Or how come they're wasting money going, how come they're applying for, park grants? We need the roads fixed. Well, obviously, the state and federal government set the grant criteria, and often they'll go for recreational facilities for communities because A, councils can't afford them because everyone's so poor except for Sydney, and they look good. People can go, oh, gee, that looks good, whereas, the roads, you could throw $30 million to the roads and you're still in this particular area and other areas, because I do read the local government newspaper. It's all across New South Wales. Local government just cannot keep up the roads. So, yes, we do apply for road grants and we do apply for recreational grants, but, they're all very competitive. I'll just make a point here about something that Councillor Olsen raised. He said that we didn't support the Western Bears football field notice of motion that he put up at the last meeting. That's not correct. It's just that we reworded it so that we also approached the Northern New South Wales Football Federation to have a look at all of our fields so that we don't miss out on any grants that they may have to offer, because the Western Bears may not have been the right fit. So we did agree that a priority for the funding should be for the Western and all other fields to be included in the funding. So the Western football field, it was a unanimous vote to support the upgrade and go for grants for Western football field. So Councillor Olsen is incorrect again.
Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I do fully support Councillor Sanders' motion, but I do have one question through the General Manager. We've been doing a lot of expediting of detailed design and construction drawings lately, and my question sort of centres around an inherent risk of us doing this and then them sitting there and not being acted upon, whether there's, when we have these design drawings about legislation associated with those drawings, the times that they're getting actually made, and if that is outdated, what's the cost to council of having to go back and do that again?
Director.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. So the benefit of having the designs on the shelf is that even if they sit there for a time, a design review is quite easy. Because the designers know when the standards change, so they're able to go back through the design and make those changes, and then you can determine if it's a really major change. But generally, most of the design changes that you get are really tweaks, because the design specs now are pretty tight.
Thank you. Councillor Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Councillor Fitzgibbon, I certainly object to Councillor Olsen's comments about not supporting Western Bears, because it's entirely not true, because there was a difference.
It is true. They did support it in the end, but they were going to leave it all out at Western Bernard Priory. And that was...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The difference is that Councillor Olsen's notice of motion last meeting was...
Councillor Olsen.
Can you stop saying Councillor Olsen? I'm sick of hearing you say it.
I think
education on what a point of order is might be appropriate, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The difference between Councillor Olsen's motion last month was he was asking Northern New South Wales for money for Western Bears Park. And Councillor Sanders' notice of motion tonight is about getting that detailed design ready so we can go and ask for money, because then we can say, well, this is what it looks like. Could you imagine having a meeting with Northern New South Wales and they say, well, tell me what it looks like. This sounds exciting. We go, well, hang on a second. We're a bit cart before the horse here. We want some money and we'll get the design to you later. That's not how it works. Why? Because we know that. Because we have learnt over the past 4.5 years, a short time on council compared to others, and I've learnt this in a short amount of time, that we have to have plans on the shelf with a detailed design. They can have dust on them, that's fine. But as long as we've got those plans there ready, then we can go out and ask for grant funding. Then we can have a conversation with Northern New South Wales Football Association. We have an amazing team of staff that are absolutely amazing at grant funding. And for us to be able to get access to those funds, we need what Councillor Sander is asking. We need a detailed design. So those votes from last month supported a motion that allows a conversation for Council to speak with Northern New South Wales Football Association about all of our fields in the LGA. But we really need to make sure that we've got a detailed design before we specifically talk to them about Western Bears, and that's exactly what Councillor Sanders is doing.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just quickly, is that the advantage of having these plans and the Bears and Bears Park, like this one for Bears Park, is that it's not only the big grants that can be utilised. It's also, as the Chancellor, where I run the job network and work for the Dole program. We actually put funding into and I've spent 12 months down doing concrete work and all the rest of it. Now, when you have a plan, and this goes for all the plans all the way across the LGA, it doesn't matter where they are, is all the work. When you have a plan, then even when you've got small little grants or work, or employment service opportunities, then they can come in and approach council and say, what can we do? And they're not playing catch up. We're actually adding and effectively building onto a master plan. So the local Rotary clubs, the local support service groups can all just go in there, so you have everybody singing off the same hymn sheet. So it's not just have these plans sitting on the shelf, because there's lots of opportunities running around the community all the time for people who want to do things. And one was, I think it was the Rotary Club, wanted to raise money for gym equipment in one of our parks. Having that gym equipment identified in the parks is exactly the sort of thing. So these are exactly the sort of things that we need in the master plan. I support the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Olsen, you've spoken on this.
So a question, Mayor Pinson, if I may. At the last month meeting when we were debating the Western Park funding, how many soccer fields were shovel ready to ask for funding?
Okay, to the director. Yep, sure.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't have that information in front of me, Councillor Olsen.
Take that on notice. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, no further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. BN 9-2021 Cessnock CBD bypasses. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Mayor Pinson, I'd like to move this motion that the General Manager bring back a report to the next ordinary meeting of Council on the cost of preparing a concept plan identifying any funding opportunity costs within the financial year 2022 draft operational plan, which would flow from funding the concept plan and the next steps to progress the Cessnock CBD bypasses as identified in the traffic transport strategy. Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, it's fairly well explained in the rationale, but This is a big strategy. It's an exciting strategy, and this council I feel, can't afford to take their foot off the pedal in driving this project forward. We are the second fastest growing city behind Maitland, and the community are relying on us to bring this project to fruition so that they can travel around the city quickly and easily. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd just like to concur with Councillor Fitzgibbon, and I think the quicker we move on this ring road, the better, to be brutally honest. And I was at the Chamber of Commerce meeting for Parish of Colwyn last night, and the point that came of that and has come for the last 6 months is their questions to me are always centred around when's the ring road coming and what are we doing with it, because they want to spend money in the Vineyards District and they're not prepared to while they're battling with congestion. And the roads are, that are coming off the ring roads are getting dilapidated simply because of the volumes of traffic that are going on there. So the quicker we act on the CBD bypass and get ourselves into a position where we can apply for any kind of funding possible, the better for us.
Thank you. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. This is a fantastic motion that's come from Councillor Fitzgibbon. We all know the issues along Wollumbine Road and what we've got to do to address that and the work that Council is currently doing and the plans around that. But once, even if that's fixed, it sort of moves the problem down to Maitland Road, and then that becomes the bottleneck. And so the only way we're really going to address the traffic issues around the CBD is through the ring road concept. Anyone that I've spoken to about it thinks that it's a fantastic idea, and I think that anything we can be doing as a council to progress this and have it happen sooner rather than later, the community would be really supportive of. So I'll be supporting the motion tonight.
Okay. Can you put the motion? All those in favour? It's unanimous. Council reports. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll just get the report here. I attended the Austar Coal Committee Consultative Committee on the 24th of March. Due to the transition from mining from mining to operational care, then care and maintenance, the committee is only meeting 6 monthly. Since the last meeting, it was with great personal sadness that we learned that Yancoal announced the closure of the mine after over 100 years of operation in the city. In spite of the closure, the committee will continue to meet to oversee the rehabilitation of the land and the preservation of the heritage structures and environment on the site. Ongoing water quality, sound and substance monitoring will continue into the future. Representatives of Austar will be meeting with council to discuss the future of the site at the meeting. Austar said that they were interested in looking at continuing job generation on activities on the site, but it was too early to actually say what they would be. But they are interested to start up discussions, long term discussions with the council about how jobs can continue on that site and it can actually be a bonus to our community. Also, the issue of the now unused railway corridor was also discussed as an opportunity for the site, and these will be continuing to be discussed with the council.
Thank you. To move to urgency motion, Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I have an emergency motion that the motion of urgency is to Poppet Head Park, that the General Manager make contact with the Cessnock Tidy Towns Committee with regard to assisting them with grant funding availability for the painting of the Poppet Head Park structure, in particular the 2021 Building Community Partnerships Grant, closing at 5 p.m. on the 14th of May 2021. The rationale behind this, Mayor Pinson, is the closing date is prior to the next council meeting, and from memory, and I've been informed that previous councils under former Mayor Marie Callaghan actually instigated the last major progress on the Poppet Head Park, whereby she organised the cherry pickers and the paint from Dulux and the like. And basically what we're asking now is the Cessnock Tidy Towns Committee are relatively ageing, and they are asking for as much help as they can get as far as digital presentation and getting the actual grant itself ready. So I just seek everyone's support on that.
Fine. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. I'll close the meeting. Thank you.